good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Courtney Cuff, he need cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Hey, cutting to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakanjahade. My colonized name is Robert Pilot, and we discuss, what do we discuss here? Native issues and events and news and things like that. Mm-hmm. We're kind of like a magazine show without the paper.
Mm-hmm. Without the paper. Exactly.
Wow, what a
Native
concept.
American-centered news.
We like to say centric.
Centric.
I don't know. That's a fancy word for centered.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you've had some coffee today.
I had too much coffee. You know, I went over to S&J's Coffee on Randolph Avenue.
Former sponsors of ours.
Yeah. Well, They couldn't anymore because of COVID. And,
right.
You know, but they're open now. You could walk in. You can't sit down and have any coffee, but they roast their own beans there. And I get the extra, extra dark, smoky Steve's blend. Woo! I'm just jumping around here.
Wow. Hey, so we talk local and national news, and as you all know, Native issues are human issues. And
human issues are Native issues. And this portion of the show is brought to you by the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 Hotline. You could call them at 651-304-9986. They're open Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. and Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. And you don't need to live in the Twin Cities or Minnesota to give them a call.
So you people out in Madison, you know, if you're
Chicago,
like walking down State Street, you know, mm-hmm. checking out the little area there by the college, give us a call, you know, right? And find out what's going on. We love Madison, don't we, Wendy?
We do. Yep.
Can't wait to go there and see those guys on Double Radio.
Yeah. We'll check that out too.
Yeah. Exciting. Okay. You're a little wound. I can kind of feel the vibe. So we're going to go to Ogama here with the news. Welcome, Ogama.
Hi, Anim Bajou, and cheers, Wendy. For everybody listening on the radio, I've got a cup of coffee in my hand. It must just be that kind of Tuesday. So without further ado, some of the big events that are coming up here. Well, we all know, and we're going to talk about it a little bit later with our guest, Nathan Wright of Mackinac O'Day, but the eviction notice for Enbridge's Line 5 is happening tomorrow and Thursday, May 12th and 13th in Mackinac City, Michigan. This is an in-person event, and three grassroots groups have actually joined forces to put on this event to help evict Line 5. And there's a lot of other support within the state of Michigan to get Enbridge's Line 5 out of the Straits of Mackinac, including their governor, Gretchen Whitmer. So it's going to be definitely a really, really good event. You can visit MackinacOday.com to find the flyer with more details and the camping map. There's also an event link at oilandwaterdontmix.org. The event is put on by Mackinac O'Day, which is Heart of the Turtle, and others. So this is going to be a really exciting event. Make sure to check it out online if you haven't already, or to stay tuned to Native Roots Radio. We'll be sharing live feeds from other places like Honor the Earth. Winona LaDuke is going to go out to Michigan, so we'll be sharing updates there. On the same day, there's also going to be a solidarity rally in Detroit to shut down Line 5. That's May 12th at 6 p.m. at the Kameni Rec Center. It is a water ceremony and press conference that's happening there. Masks are required. If you're in the Detroit area, make sure to check that out or share that with your friends that might be in that area. In northern Minnesota, on Thursday, May 13th, there's going to be a ride for the Rivers, which is a bike ride against the Line 3. This is hosted by MN350, Honor the Earth, and the Loaves and Fishes community. They will be riding their bikes from the Camp McGizzy, or sorry, from Husky Refinery to Camp McGizzy along the Munger Trail, which is about a 40-mile ride. And then from May 13th going to May 21st, there will be a small group that is riding against the flow of the Line 3 oil pipeline. So they're going to be riding along the new route that is currently under construction, and they will be stopping to document, record sounds of water, and share songs and stories along the way. We'll also be promoting that and sharing that on Native Roots Radio. They'll be using the hashtag Ride for the Rivers and hashtag StopLine3 as always. So make sure to check that event out. And then if you have not yet, mark your calendars for June 5th through 8th for the Treaty People Gathering in Northern Minnesota. You can go to treatypeoplegathering.org to find out more information about where to go and how to get there. The event is by Honor the Earth, MN350, and a couple of others. So that's going to be a really big one. Don't say you didn't know about it. All right. I mentioned it, I don't know how many times now. So don't say you didn't know about June 5th through 8th when it happens, everybody. In other news, the U.S. Department of the Interior said this past Friday that it's not going to pursue the Trump administration proposal that weakened regulation for exploratory oil and gas drilling in the Arctic. The Department of the Interior said in a statement that existing regulations released in 2016 are going to remain in effect, and direct quote, that they are critical to ensuring adequate safety and environmental protections for this sensitive ecosystem and Alaska Native subsistence activities. So that is really big news, and I think it's pretty obvious to most people with what's happening with the Department of the Interior right now that Deb Haaland is definitely in. Also in Alaska, the governor, Mike Dunleavy, is proposing to let Alaskan Native Vietnam War veterans exchange promised federal land allotments that were not currently available in their cultural regions. He said, the governor said that he sees it as an opportunity to right a wrong that the federal government should have addressed a long time ago. Basically, this goes back to a 1906 Alaska Native Allotment Act, where Alaska Natives were allowed to apply for up to 160 acres of land. However, that land within their tribal nations was just simply not available. So now that those now that there's lands that are available in Alaska, the governor is encouraging Native American veterans of the Vietnam War to apply. However, the veterans have said they're, you know, kind of frustrated that the lands that are being made available are either difficult to access or outside their cultural homelands. And this has not even gone through the Alaska legislature yet. So there'll be more information on that later. But I wanted to touch base on Alaska because we haven't touched base on Alaska in a while. Other news is that the Confederated Tribes of the Umatilla Indian Reservation in Oregon have amended their housing department's drug elimination policy, which means now tribal citizens there can test positive for marijuana during the application process and not be excluded from tribal housing. The news release said that cannabis is still illegal on their reservation, but changing the policy was an acknowledgement that marijuana is now legal to consume in the states of Oregon and Washington. So that's an interesting fact, and I hope that that helps with their housing in that area. And my last piece for today is that the largest tribe in the United States is now the Navajo Nation. They have surpassed the Cherokee Nation. Financial assistance that was given to them, the Navajo Nation, from the COVID-19 pandemic meant that thousands of documents were actually able to be sent in and verified and updated. So the Navajo Nation received 293,000 applications, and they have now partially updated the total number of their members to 399,494, which is a 30%, more than a 30% increase. So the tribe also has the largest tribal lands in the country. The largest tribe, as I said, was previously Cherokee Nation. However, Cherokee Nation, a representative from the Cherokee Nation, told Indian Country Today that they are still happy to see the increase in the enrollment, even though their numbers were overtaken, because it means that we're still here. And we say that all the time here.
Yeah, we do. Pini Gigi. Hey, I just want to say why we're wrapping it up, too, is that Killer of the Flower Moon is started shooting, Wendy. You know that book that was really popular a couple years ago? And it's directed by Martin Scorsese and Leonardo DiCaprio, and Lily Gladstone, a Native American, will be in that. And so that's a...
Oh, so it's a movie?
It's a movie now. Remember the book?
What's the name of it?
It's Killers of the Flower Moon. Okay, and it was cool. About the people that had the natives that were pushed off on crappy land and ended up having all oil, and they became the richest people in the country.
Wow.
You remember that
book? I do remember the story, yes.
Your book club was going to do it.
Yeah. Yep.
But then I don't know what happened, but you know,
nobody could find the book, and it was really expensive.
I have two of them, so I could loan them out. Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. It's Water Protector Day, and up next, Nathan Wright. We'll be right back.
Stay with us.
Aneen, I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
We are Alusa Nation.
Welcome back. Native Radio presents I'm Awake, and I am your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 Hotline. Call them at 651-304-9986. They're open Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. and Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m.
Wow, we got a lot to talk about, and Nathan Wright is probably busier than heck because in Michigan, he's really involved.
Line five.
Right, involved with the big two-day event there, and we know one of our semi-regular guests, Winona LaDuke, is going to be one of the speakers out there. So it's pretty exciting. Mm-hmm. I can go
it
over really
exciting.
Quick here some of the things that are happening, too. There's going to be a sunrise ceremony at 6:30 a.m. And at 9 a.m. there's going to be a treaty plant walk with Nathan Wright, who's going to be our guest. At 10 a.m. art build and print. We always like those. We like to make those T-shirts and things like that. Mm-hmm. And at 4 p.m. feast and potluck. Oh, before that, sorry, at 3 a.m. jingle dance. And giant puppets, and we've seen those
not
giant
at 3 a.m.
3 p.m. But we've seen those giant puppets.
One's a bear, one's a wolf, and one's a big red I think it's red jingle dress
dancer.
It's awesome. Yeah, they're all awesome.
Yeah, so they're fighting line three. And that's really, I mean, line five. Thank you. And that's really exciting kind of things.
Well, hopefully they'll leave. What do you think, Ogama? Do you think you said the governor there wants Enbridge out of there because they have a lot of violations against them.
Yes. Yep. So they kind of have the opposite of what's happening in Minnesota, where our governor is supporting Enbridge. In Michigan, Governor Whitmer has been supportive of removing Enbridge from the Straits of Mackinac for their previous environmental disasters in Michigan. And it looks like we have Nathan here with us now. So welcome, Nathan.
Yeah. Thank you.
Hey, Nathan. Yeah, how's it going? We know you're really, really busy, and we appreciate you spending some time with us. I was trying to give the rundown, but I think you could give a better rundown of what's going on there these next 2 days, where it's really exciting, and I'm really sad that I haven't been able to or wouldn't be able to make it this week, but boy, I really want to. I got FOMO. I'm feeling left out.
Well, okay. Can I grab the flyer real quick?
Yeah.
I'm going to grab the flyer real quick.
Okay. This is like live radio and live TV. Wendy's grabbing the flyer.
Yeah.
Well, you know, he doesn't have it memorized.
Exactly.
And I don't have it
memorized.
There's
so many events on it. I don't know how he could.
It is. It was just updated just moments ago before I got on the program. So,
well, that's great. So we got the hot news.
Hot off the press.
Right.
This is the hot off the press. So, all right, so we got a lot of things going on. A quick rundown is, well, let's just go over the speakers. We'll talk about that real quick, and then we can talk about other stuff. So the speakers we got, we just got the Little Traverse Bay Band Chair, Regina Gasco Bentley. We got Tom Peters, who's going to talk, give us the Great Flood story, which we really haven't talked about much, you know, as Indigenous people, the significance of the Straits to us. This is our, you know, Jerusalem. This is our Black Hills, just to put it in the context where other people can understand how important this is to us spiritually. Mm-hmm. So he's going to give that story. We're going to have we haven't confirmed that yet, but we're getting a drum group from up in the Sioux. We're going to confirm them. Tanya, am I saying her name right? The one that works with Winona?
Yep, Tanya. Yep.
Yeah, Tanya, she's going to be there. She's on her way right now. Phil Belfi, who's with the Article32.org. Paul DeMaine, of course, who's going to be with Winona. Mm-hmm. Holly T. Bird, she's an indigenous attorney. She also did some work up at Standing Rock. A lot of people know her. Whitney Gravel, who's the Bay Mills chair, who was in the news today. And I don't know if you guys mentioned that yet or not, but we could talk about that
sure.
in a moment. Fred Harrington, Little Trevor's Bay Man, also. He's the guy that helped with them discovering the archaeological spot, the Stonehenge, for Anishinaabeg people. He uses Gmon. He has this big, long Gmon that he uses. So he's been very active with Line 5. Beatrice Jackson, a great Mde elder that's just been – she does the water ceremonies a lot with me. You've seen her. She might have seen – if you've seen that music video, she's in there. Awesome mm-hmm. person. Winona LaDuc, obviously, of course. Sean McBearty of Oil and Water Don't Mix. We just confirmed tonight Jim Northrup, who's on his way right now as we speak. So
right
he's
on.
It was good to talk to him. And he
mentioned He'll have his sunglasses on. His sacred sunglasses.
I'll tell him that. I'll say, hey, those are your sacred sunglasses I heard about. And then Steve Perry, Denise Petoskey, she's with Little Traverse Bay Band, Karen Turnbull, Martin Reinhardt, a professor from up in Northern Michigan University, Ray Sinclair. And that's it so far, but we got a bunch of people. There's an elder too. I forget her name. She's going to speak. Sorry about that. I didn't get her name down. And then we have the different local music artists that are going to be here as well. So everything's looking good. We got at least 200 people registered on one site, but then all these other sites have different registered. We're expecting, I'm guesstimating somewhere between 300 to 400, but that number can go up because I know a lot of people aren't registering. They're just coming because mm-hmm. we're hearing it. I'm getting a lot of messages. So this is snowballing. Lots of media coverage we're expecting, including national media coverage. So
exactly. Well, you know, half of that's going to be Winona's group here in Minnesota heading there. So you'll have at least 300 people there.
We have a lot of people coming from Minnesota right now. We're already hearing stories of, you know, people's camper and breaking down and stuff like that, but they're still coming. They're still we're you know, helping people out where we can. So yeah, it's been very, very exciting. A lot of work, but yeah, we're really happy. We want to do everything just right for everybody that's coming. So
yeah, you know, it's got a, you know, I talked to Paul and he mentioned that this is like close to our Madeline Island, you know, as sacred as that area in Minnesota, in the deep north in Minnesota. And so can you tell a little bit about the Straits to people, our listening audience?
Yes. Sure. So this is, you know, the Great Flood, and Tom's going to do this a lot better than I am right now. But basically, you know, it's one of our stories where there was a great flood, and Nana Bougeau was out in his canoe, similar to Noah, to put it into context that people that might not be familiar with the story. And he gathered all the animals up and went around the water for a long time and then started sending animals down because he needed to get some soil. And he wanted to create a new world. And so there was no land. So he kept sending animals down. And finally, these animals kept going down. They couldn't make it. Finally, the muskrat went down. There's different versions of this. The muskrat went down. And then they looked for the muskrat. They couldn't find it. And then finally, they seen the muskrat floating in the water. And Nana Bougeau picked them up. And he was sad because the muskrat had died. And so they were honoring that muskrat. And then he looked under his paws and he found soil. And then he took that soil and he blew it. And then that created Turtle Island, Michilimackinac, which is now Mackinac Island. And mm-hmm. that's right there in the Straits. It's only 3 miles from the pipeline. And it's one of our most sacred spots as Anishinaabe.
You know, it's really blows my mind because my wife here, Wendy, does a sacred animal section on our show the last almost 4 years. And all our stories, our native stories, have to do with our relatives, you know, with four legs and tails and fins. It's always warms my heart when I hear that because I get emotional.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of deep meaning. You know, we were talking about like Mishapishu and the Thunderbird, and I kind of put that together that that's like our yin yang, Mishapishu being the underwater panther and then the Thunderbird being above, and how they battle, but they have to, they're both good. They're not bad. They're both good. They kind of keep the balance. And I made the connection that it's like our yin yang. You know, mm-hmm. we all have that. We all have those different elements, even within our tribe, that kind of keep us in balance. They don't always get along, but they keep us balanced. So that was an analogy I had made with Mishapishu and the Thunderbird.
Yeah, and it's beautiful. And I know you are really busy, and you've been really a great asset to be on our show these last 4 weeks, and we really really appreciate your updates. And it's really come to a head right now, because in the next 2 days you're going to be fighting Line 5. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're all about here, is amplifying voices like yours and all over Turtle Island, Wendy.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, I'd love to hear more of those stories that you have. Mm-hmm. Maybe next week we could talk about some stories.
Yeah. So good luck with this. And I know it's going to be great. And on Native Roots Radio, we're going to be sharing it out and doing all these things that we can to support you out there on No Line 5. Pini Gigi for being on, Nathan.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. And if people want updates, they can check out www.mackinawoday.com for the latest information, including the flyer.
Perfect. Perfect way to end it. Pini Gigi, thank you so much. Yep. Wow, just amazing, mm-hmm. Wendy. This is what the show is all about.
Yeah, it really is.
Really is. Mm-hmm. Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and up next, Nancy Bolio. We're going to be fighting Line 3 here mm-hmm. in a few minutes. We'll be right back after this short break.
Stay with us.
This is Winona the Duke of Honor the Earth, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio. I'm Awake.
We are Alusa Nation.
Hey, welcome back. The Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hare.
This portion of the show is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice, and the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Wow. What a great segment there.
Yeah, he's awesome. I could listen to those stories, those creation stories. I just love them, really.
Yeah, I mm-hmm. got a little emotional there because mm-hmm. I really dig that stuff. Yeah. Hey, we have our regular mm-hmm. on Nancy Bolio
yep.
of MN or Bemidji 350, MN 350, and also Rise Coalition. And also former guest host with me on Rock the Vote Native Style. Mm-hmm. Welcome, Nancy Bolio.
Bonjour. And, you know, I'm also a proud citizen of the Minnesota Chippewa Tribe, and I reside here in northern Minnesota on the Leech Lake Reservation. And, you know, Robert, it's always a good listen. Like I mentioned time in and time out, knowledge is power. And, you know, when we stand together, we don't stand alone. So I really appreciate the space I can hold here on Tuesday night, and look forward to sharing some of the good stuff that's taking place here in the Line 3 Resistance. And I really, really want to give a big shout-out to our relatives from Northern California. They were our MMIW delegates and AIM leaders that stood in solidarity for the MMIW 218 event last Wednesday. And, you know, they gave us a gift of a healing lodge and explained the purpose of being grounded, because, you know, there's hurt, there's trauma, and it's ongoing, and it's like, we as a people have to, you know, collectively share these lodges in a good way. And if we have a relative across Turtle Island, someone from home here that's hurting and need to find healing, it's a place where they can come and pray and feel connected to the love that's going to help find the healing and the guidance that's going to get us there. So it was a beautiful, beautiful turnout, very powerful, and also inspiring to remind, you know, myself why I do the work to stop pipeline, you know, because no pipeline is any good when they bring us those man camps, right, Robert?
Right. Hey, I just want to mention, too, AIM stands for American Indian Movement, which was founded here in the Twin Cities. Also, they're a movement, and they've always been leading as a spiritual movement. So it's great to hear that they're still alive and kicking and doing things like that, Nance.
Right. And, you know, they came with such good energy and so much love, and I'll never forget Julian. And it was so nice just to, you know, get off of the virtual world and meet our relatives in person, because I did recognize them in, from the Rock the Vote Native Style Symposium, and it was just so surreal to connect with a real hug, Robert, especially during COVID. And the whole group was wonderful, from, you know, Christian, there was Norm, and there was Lupe, and, oh, I just can't remember all their names, but, you know, they left us in a good way, and they were on another journey to go stand in solidarity and deliver another healing lodge. So I am so honored to hold space with them last week, and I have learned so much from their knowledge and the gifts that they bring. And, you know, I also want to encourage our relatives out there from far, close to home especially, because Line 3 is, you know, almost ready to go under construction again as the weather keeps warming up. And as I drove up to the White Earth Camp yesterday, I noticed they were reinforcing the highway for the drill pad. And that was a little, you know, upsetting as it is. And so what we do on Mondays, why I was headed up that way, is we meet at camp at 5, and we have good food always. And then we caravan down to the river between Elida, Minnesota, and Bethesda, Minnesota, right by the LaSalle State Park. And there's the Mississippi Bridge, where the Line 3, the Ugly Tar Sands Pipeline, is going to be running through on its new route. This is not a replacement. It's a new route. And this is on the other side of the Great River Road. You'll find a Palisade Camp on one end, and we're on the other end doing just what they are doing, resisting this pipeline. So when we caravan down to the river, we join our youth who lead this movement, and they are giving a call out to all of our relatives far and wide to come stand in solidarity every Monday. And we get down to the bridge just shortly after 6, maybe, well, Indian time, 6:30 sometimes. But it's led by the youth. They hand jump for us, and we always have a water protector of the week, and they share their story why they're standing in solidarity. And, you know, Robert, I can't help but say this is a beautiful movement, just like any other movement, and I'm glad I was awakened at Standing Rock.
Yeah, absolutely. And for our people listening in Chicago and Madison, you're probably like 4 or 5 hours north of the Twin Cities, what you're talking about, in that pristine area right around where the Mississippi begins up there. Lake Itasca is one of the areas that Line 3 is going to go through, that water where you can drink and still drink. And so just to let everyone kind of know exactly, well, not exactly, but generally where you are.
And this is, you know, this is the headwaters area. This is where the Mississippi, it starts the flow, the beautiful water in all kinds of, you know, good ways. And it's the what we all need for life. And, you know, I just don't know how they could even think about drilling under the river. And that's what's so disheartening when we, you know, go out to the river and see, you know, the construction that they did during the winter. And, you know, to be on the headwaters of the Mississippi is never a good idea. And there's so many other water crossings, and, you know, the Red River, we got our relatives from Red Lake, the Red Lake Treaty Camp, holding space up there. So, yeah, our camps are getting ready for the influx, because we're calling on, again, our relatives far and wide to come hold space June 5th through the 8th for the treaty people gathering. And there's going to be all kinds of different actions. There's going to be entertainment, because, you know, we like humor. And we got to remind ourselves that we still have to feel good about the work we do. And so we're excited about creating those events. So we've been really, really busy planning with that. And if you want to get involved with that, you can actually go to treatypeoplesgathering.com. And earlier in the show, I think
Ogama.
Ogama, yeah, I think she was, I don't know if there's another website, but I do know it's the treatypeoplegathering.com, and it'll give you the information that you need. And so, again, line three, we need to shut it down. And, you know, I wish I wasn't so busy because I'd be headed for Michigan myself, but our camp, we just got our new mess tent up so we can have a place to cook. So we have a lot of work to do to prepare for our relatives and our allies to come up here for the big event, looking forward. And I also want to, you know, I know my time runs up really quick, so I might be talking a little fast, and I apologize for that. But, you know, we're starting to have conversations about elections in 2022. So I want to encourage our relatives that are considering running for office, really highly consider it, and reach out to organizations that can help you prepare for your campaigns, provide support. And, you know, because I'm realizing here on a local note, you know, we are, you know, progressing forward, but we still have the majority vote against us. And we're close, Robert, but mm-hmm. we got more work to do. And I feel it's important for our Native relatives to step it up, our like-minded candidates, you know, that have the same values as us. We also have to support them, too. So there's campaigns to do and things to put in place to make sure that we're successful while we're out campaigning and, you know, making sure we're endorsing the right people. So please really think about that because time is going by fast. We're already May 2021. And
wow, so, I'm in another couple of weeks. I'm going to be like a mini elder in my tribe here. They've just anointed me once I hit 60, so I'm excited about that. But you're right, time's flying. Hey, Nancy, one of the things I wanted to back up and talk about again, catch our people up in Wisconsin and Illinois about when we talk about this is not a replacement line, can you give our friends a little scenario, like a 30-second scenario on why that isn't a replacement line up in line three?
Right. Currently, the line three is from the 1960s. It's aging, and it's got anomalies in it. And so, you know, that the current line runs through my reservation, the Leech Lake Reservation, and heads towards Fond du Lac. And Enbridge was not allowed to get their way with this existing line. So basically, they've had a disagreement with my tribe, and my tribe was really, really powerful on resisting this line. And unfortunately, because of that, it had to follow a new route. And Enbridge is putting the new route in. It's headed towards the White Earth Reservation and actually through Fond du Lac and obviously through the 1855 ceded land. And Line 3 does not have the consent of the White Earth, the Red Lake, nor the Mille Lacs Indian Reservations. And so the governor gave a green light without consulting the tribes, and it's really, you know, disheartening because Governor Walz has Executive Order 19-24, the government-to-government relationship. And, you know, if you're really going to have, you know, a healthy, positive relationship with the tribes here in northern Minnesota, it's about protecting their culture and making sure that we have clean water to drink too. And, you know, there's a failure on the environmental impact study, and we didn't get one. We need one. We had a survey that was done on behalf of Fond du Lac, but basically mm-hmm. a survey is a matter of an opinion, and right. an environmental impact study is facts. And that is something that was failed in this process. And so this is why we were resisting it, because, one, you know, no pipeline is any good. And we're in a time where we're looking for the Green New Deal and moving forward and depending on nature's gifts. And that means solar energy itself, you know. And right. so, line three is actually proposed to cut through or cut under the Mississippi twice. And I think, you know, I can't think offhand, I think over 200 watersheds in its new route. It's yeah. actually a new route. And it's really disheartening that they're getting away with.
It is totally. Peeny Geeky, thank you so much. I just want to add, too, that they could use both of the pipelines, too, the one they're supposed to be they're never going to pull it out, so mm-hmm. they could use that, Wendy. So Peeny Geeky, Nancy, for stopping in and give us update, and we really appreciate you, your passion, and all the work you do for our native community and for Turtle Island. Pinigigi. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back after this short break.
Stay with us.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this show is dedicated to those who give back and fight back for our people. We are the resistance. We are awake.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Oh, that was kind of lame, but I liked it. Hey, all things are relatives in what we do to everything we do to ourselves. All is one. Black Elk said that. I want to introduce my awesome and beautiful wife, Wendy Pilot. Wendy is my sidekick, and she's also a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States, and she's worked on animal issues in the local and national level. Welcome. Nope, not national. All right, local and state level. Mm-hmm. Welcome, Wendy.
Welcome. Thank you, Robert. My name is Hana G. Hihani, and that means cares for them. And that name I was given by my Dega Curtis. So as always, Curtis, thank you very much for that name. And I just want to give a shout out to Susan. She sent me an email. So I just want to say thanks for the email about my animal section. Yeah. And I will be talking about the subject she talked to me about in the email soon. But yeah. So today, I just wanted to give a shout out to the Humane Society of the United States. Every year they come out with their horrible 100 report. Uh-huh. And what this report is it exposes the top 100 puppy mills that are the worst in the United States. And I'm going to share that on our Facebook page so that you could see who they are, where they are, and what's going on. Unfortunately, you know, there's not a lot of laws that are carried out and to help these poor dogs in these puppy mills. So puppy mills, again, are just facilities where it doesn't even have to be. It could be 20 dogs. It could be 200 dogs. It could be 1,000 dogs. But it really goes by how the animals are treated. You know, they're crammed in cages, and I just want to let people know this, that, you know, sometimes people will buy a dog that's AKC certified. So it's the American Kennel Club. Exactly. Unfortunately, the American Kennel Club has very substandard rules and laws how these dogs can keep. I mean, the AKC says that a dog can live in a cage that's 6 inches taller than them and 6 inches around their body, so that the dog just has to be able to stand up and turn around. The dog doesn't need to go out on regular walks, doesn't need to see the veterinarian. They do need to have food, so they do have to have food. It doesn't say anything about the quality of food. And as far as heat and coolness goes, it's just substandard. So these dogs are kept in filthy conditions, and I'm going to post the top five, you know, the top 100 horrible puppy mills in the United States. Right now in the United States, there's over 10,000 puppy mills where these dogs are. And Minnesota, unfortunately, has some of the puppy mills here in Minnesota have the largest amount of dogs. So there's some that have 1,000 dogs, 900 dogs, 500 dogs. I mean, could you imagine having that many dogs? You know,
it's a factory.
It is.
It's a inhumane factory.
It is.
Factory.
The thing is, too, is that there could be laws in place to help these dogs, but they're very rarely ever, you know, people, they're just not enforced.
Right.
These laws are not enforced. So the American Kennel Club champion dog show breeder in Iowa, Mystical Cockers, so I'm sure they're like Cocker Spaniels, who was previously sentenced to jail time. Over 88 animals were seized from her property and 5 dogs were found dead, was given a new license by her state and continues to sell online via puppyfind.com, a website the HSUS has repeatedly linked to puppy mills. The list goes on and on. I'll just say one more here. A breeder in Missouri, Dina Brunges, had her U.S. Department of Agriculture license revoked in 2008 after at least 7 unwanted dogs were found shot dead. Puppies were found dead and dogs were found emaciated or sick. She still received a new license in 2020. So how does this happen? A dog dealer in Iowa, Steve Cruz, Stonehedge Kennel, has been found with more than 50 sick or injured dogs on his property since 2015. He is still licensed in his state by the USDA, which means he can continue to sell to pet stores or online in the United States. We'll go one more here. A breeder in Iowa, Joseph A. Miller, Horseshoe Kennel, admitted he was performed a do-it-yourself dental procedure on one of his dogs instead of taking her to a veterinarian and that she died while struggling to break free. Miller seemingly was not significantly penalized for this incident and is still licensed both by the state and the USDA. So just those, you know, 4 stories goes to show you how little regard that these animals are kept. And then I'm going to say it over and over again, the Humane Society of the United States actually has responsible breeders working with them. Mm-hmm. And these responsible breeders, help change laws. And these responsible breeders will only breed their dogs a certain amount of times, per their lifetime, right? Mm-hmm. So like our Gracie, we have a puppy mill dog. She was bred over and over again, 2 litters per year, over and over again for 7 years. So her little poor body is like worn out. Mm-hmm. So we just need people to be aware. We always want people to adopt, don't shop.
Right.
But if you do need to have a purebred dog, you could go on the Humane Society of the United States website, mm-hmm. and they will have a list for you of responsible breeders that are known. You know, the dogs live in their house, they're well kept, they're loved, they sleep in the bed with the people, that kind of thing. They're not just kept in a cage till their body's worn out.
You know who the parents are.
You will meet the mom dog and the dad dog.
Whereas in puppy mills, they're hidden.
They're
because
hidden.
They're in cages, and like our little Gracie has no teeth in her back.
Yeah.
She doesn't have strength and things like that. Just a quick thing I'd like to ask you in the last 50 seconds, Wendy, is tell everyone the difference between, because I think people get confused with the Humane Society of the United States and the Humane Society that adopts dogs.
Yeah, so the Humane Society of the United States is the largest welfare animal advocacy group in the whole United States, and we do not have anything to do with any shelters. So we don't adopt dogs out. We work on policies, and we work on ordinances, and we work on laws in the your state, in your in your city, and in the United States to help animals. But we do work with humane societies, shelters, if there's a disaster and they have to go in, and they work with the shelters to help the animals. But we do not adopt dogs out.
Right. And I've seen you in work. I've seen you working on policy yourself personally, and I'm really proud of all the work that you've done since you've been involved with this.
Yeah, well, animals are my passion, and I want them to have humane laws, and I want to keep them as safe as possible.
Well, hey, I would like to end with this. First, Peeny Gigi, for speaking on behalf of our relatives with fin, wings, legs, and tails, and hooves. If you're listening to the show, you are part of the resistance. From Chief Plenty Coops, the ground on which we stand on is sacred ground. It is the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, mask up, divest, join a group and run for office. You've been listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I've been your host, Robert Pilot. I would like to thank Nancy Bolio tonight.
Nathan.
Yep. And Wendy Pilot.
Ogama.
And Ogama. We're still here. We are the seventh generation.
Free Leonard Peltier.